I think that what happens has happened to us, and I'm looking for solutions this fiscal, and I have a few, is that sometimes they know the financial impact, sometimes they don't. And even if the financial impact in year one, say I got $75,000, but I'm reducing my budget over here to cover the $75,000, and it's in that scenario, it seems okay. But what about year two? Well, you have the funds to cover, you know, follow-on expenses related to it. Maybe yes, maybe no. So it gets complicated. I think that, we choose a number that seems reasonable, ones that are crucial, and we have an agreement on what items will be brought up for review and information. So I think information on large sums of money is just as important as whether it's unbudgeted. So,
right.
Absolutely.
So we do. I think that's our best way to go.
Yeah.
Okay, we are at the point where we have about 4 more minutes left in this discussion. Can we talk about what we would want to have before us next week? In other words, is there something that people we would want to ask people to look into? Might we want to ask Lonnie to work up at least a couple of distinctive, clear scenarios that are sort of different categories of things and a possible policy proposal around each of them, that we might get enough in advance of that meeting so that people can think of any amendments or substitutions they'd want? Lonnie, would that be something that you could do? Do you have time this week to do that, or would you need more time?
Oh, I've got auditors sitting downstairs as we speak.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, you're in the middle of the audit.
So maybe we could, what would be a time frame in which you might, could you get us some notes of the specific kinds of scenarios, and then we can all be thinking about it and deal with it in a couple of weeks?
Well, that's fair. 2 weeks. I think, because I have this stuff on my head, it's just taking the time to put it down.
Right, right.
And maybe just a proposed policy, your idea of a policy would work.
Let's just leave it with what the different distinct situations are, because he does have auditors, and then the following week we can.
Well, actually, I would really like to see a proposed policy.
Yeah, I would like to do one. It'll
okay.
Save us.
Let's say we get that within 2 weeks.
2 weeks is reasonable.
Okay, now, just for the purposes of the minutes, Lonnie will come up with a proposed policy on...
Proposed policies.
Policies on how the national committee will
monitor
address
effect.
Or excuse me.
I would think of it. I'm thinking of it in terms of monitor effectively finance issues related to, you know, that.
Well, I'd like to add that it's not just the national, because when we're talking about within units, I think the policy that the PNB would eventually need to pass would also go to the question of the roles of other bodies, including local bodies like
proposed
the LSB.
Policies on how the LSB and the National Finance Committee will address under-budgeted and over-budgeted items.
Let's just say how under-budgeted and the approval and reporting of under-budgeted and over-budgeted items will be managed.
Well, we were actually talking about expenses over a certain amount, because Lonnie brought that in, and I think it was important.
Yeah, the 5% rule, not all, but just ones that are...
So it should be 5% and a dollar amount, because...
Yeah,
expenses over $10,000 are 5% over budget.
Yeah.
10,005%.
That's a number I throw out. You could change it, Lonnie, if you wanted.
Yeah, I'll look and see what they actually would look like in that rule, Carol.
Mm-hmm.
And see if it fits. It fits. If it doesn't, I'll
change it.
Are you clear as you need to be, Paul, for the minutes? And can
yeah, I'll make it. I'll make it very general.
Good. Okay. So the next item then would be, but just to be sure that we do have one or two more minutes. Is there any objection to moving forward, or does anybody have anything last to add? Okay. The next thing is that on policy is Ambrose's request that the CFO investigate and report on terms for a line of credit of $25 and $50 million. And I would like to speak to this, which is, as I told him, I think this is properly a director's information request. Now, I also said at the meeting, and we approved it, that if it was going to go through this process, that it be something that the that the LSBs also discuss. And my reason for wanting that kind of discussion is that I don't think this is a sort of neutral matter or a simple matter. I do think that most people looking at the board as a board approving doing something like this suggests that the board is actively contemplating taking advantage of that money. And so I think it's something that needs to be clarified and discussed with everybody prior to moving forward. I personally see it as a very different matter for an individual director to want that information, because that doesn't make a statement about the disposition of the board towards using that. But that's my own opinion. What do other people think?
I concur, this is Alice, with that opinion. I'm quite uncomfortable with the implication that it may be the board itself that is looking into this.
The National Board did ask that the LSBs and the Finance Committee discuss Ambrose's proposal. Ambrose's proposal was that the CFO look into and report back to the board on what kind of terms would be available for a $25 million loan to Pacifica and a $50 million loan to Pacifica. So, you know, you could look at that as, well, we're just looking for information. Would it be ever possible to borrow that kind of money, and under what kind of terms would such borrowing be possible? If you knew that borrowing that kind of money was impossible, you wouldn't think about how to spend it.
maybe not.
Well, let's just assume, make the assumption that you just say, well, we'll have to find some other way to raise money besides borrowing it. If you knew that it were possible under, and what the kind of terms would be, then you might want to start thinking about, well, what could we do with 25 or 50 million bucks? I think it's kind of got the cart before the horse myself. I would like, if Ambrose or any other board member would has a specific project that would require $25 or $50 million to implement, I'd like to know what it is. You know, do we want to buy stations? Do we want to expand Pacifica and start picking up licenses? What is it that we would want this investigation for? Do we want an endowment fund to develop new national programming? What is this idea, this bright idea burning what's it for?
Yeah.
So without having some idea of that, I'm just a little reluctant to send Lonnie off spending his time, which is he's overtaxed already, contacting bankers, and I don't know how you find out what kind of terms would be available.
That's the key word, is terms.
Yeah, terms. I mean,
as in collateral. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, yep. And you know.
Yep.
So that's my thought.
Lonnie, what kind of time are you talking about? Is it a one phone call deal, or is it?
No. Your banker is going to want to know what's going to be your collateral. They're going to want financial statements around your debt. They want to go into deeper levels around your anticipated revenues. It's like a house loan. You're buying a house, and all the paperwork associated with a house, right?
Right. This is
LaVarne. But let me just, let me second.
I got you, LaVarne, after Lonnie's done.
Thank you.
And something I think Carol said, and I do believe it's important that in, first thing a banker's going to want, most of the time what they're going to want to know is, what do you want to use it for? They're not just going to give you money.
Can I,
LaVarne?
And then Paul?
So I think that the prior discussion is looking at what our needs may be, that for sums of that size, and there are a number, and I'll just list a few and won't comment on them. We're looking at ADA issues now, and that may involve rehab of several of our buildings and a number of expenses that may go, capital needs that are going to be considerable. We have our archives where we've identified a $12 million price tag around really restoring that. I've spoken about an endowment, which I see as a need. And so I think that that discussion, what would be our needs if we had such a sum, and then maybe having the board prioritize it such that we can speak with some certainty about what we would do with it if we did get it, so that we're all on the same page starting out. That would be my two cents right now.
Paul? Oh, wait, LaVarne, I'm sorry,
yeah,
LaVarne and then Paul.
This is LaVarne. Yeah, I kind of support what Carol was saying in terms of if a board member bring that type of question before the board. I think it is a requirement that person put in writing, the reason for even proposing the idea. And like even the ideas that Liney put out in terms of, if it's for like ADA or that, we need to look at other options for raising money, like the fundraising. And I know when we built the station at KPFA, it was a whole capital campaign around a new building. And that to just to throw out an idea like that and have Lonnie go out in the market and start assessing borrowing by Pacifica, that is just bad timing, bad message, bad everything. And I think it puts out a message that I'm certainly not aware that, there's this need or anything related to that type of funding. And that, it's a great idea, in terms of knowing options. I mean, that's fine, but that is not, I don't think anything that's on our, that I'm aware of as part is a vision or anything that the ED has said that we need to do. So I think this is just a very poor idea at this time.
Paul?
I'm interested in knowing if there's any history of Pacifica doing this kind of thing. And whether we could find that out, because I'm just curious as to whether this is completely outside of our experience or whether we've actually done it in the past.
Well, we have. This is Carol. Yeah. We have taken out mortgages. KPFA's building has a mortgage, so we borrowed money. At the end of our capital campaign, we raised a lot of money too.
How much was the mortgage?
Something like $10 million.
It was about $10 or $12 million.
$10 or $12 million.
Mm-hmm.
And for what period of time?
10 years, and it's going to be paid off next year, I think, next year or the following. So we took out a mortgage, and the collateral, I suppose, was the building. It is a CFO, just for everybody's information, if you did not know this, the FCC does not permit you to encumber your license. You can't put your broadcast license up as collateral for a loan. Lonnie, did you know that?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. So I'm not aware of any other borrowing in Pacifica's history, and I've read the minutes of the board going back to 1980. I am aware of capital campaigns and seeking grants and, large sums of money, relatively large. But I'm not aware of any borrowing of that size.
If we take the $10 million mortgage of one station and multiply it by five, we're talking about $50 million in borrowing, which is, exactly what Ambrose's proposal is.
Yeah, but
I'm not supporting the proposal, but I'm just saying that.
Right. Well, it would be very interesting to look at trying to get a mortgage to build a building for BAI or PFW, neither. The other three stations mm-hmm. do own their building.
Yeah.
Well, I like the idea that Lonnie brought forth, which was that what we should do is make a request back and say that we recommend or that it is, because the request at this point is too nonspecific to allow Lonnie to actually get the needed information, because he would have to provide any potential lender with information about what it would be used for to get a reasonable response, that we would need the board to consider, or that we would need the board to, the member who proposed it, to provide information about what was being proposed before we would ask the CFO to spend the time tracking that information down. How do people feel about leaving it there? And then at the point at which it comes forth, the response comes forth, we can look at that.
Yeah, this is LaVarne.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I like Carol's idea where she said that that it needs to be taken back to Ambrose, and Ambrose need to submit the information. I think that, oh, Dave said, Liney said it, but I think Carol said it earlier, and that need to absolutely do that in order, and rather than go through this, like this red herring, because, again, as Liney says, he has a lot of things to do. It's the end of the fiscal year, and to expend this time to do something like that, I think, as I said earlier, is a poor idea, no support. And we don't even want to go into WMDs, but anyway, let's move forward.
Since we don't have a board meeting where a response to this is agendized before our next finance committee meeting, could we also table this and request that somebody come up with specific language of the motion? Because if we put a motion together now, we may want to tinker things back and forth. Would somebody be willing to draft a motion for our consideration at the next meeting that would encapsulate everything we've talked about what we would need? Will anybody take that responsibility?
This is LaVarne. I'm just trying to clarify. I think that I think the point is that we need to just understand that there's not another board meeting. So maybe, I don't know how you would contact the director, but that the idea at this time is that we are not going to entertain it. We need to send it back to Ambrose. He needs to come back to us.
I really think as a committee, for various reasons that I don't think we need to go into here, but there needs to be a formal response. It does need to be responsive to the intent and say that if the member remains interested in moving this forward, we would need to we would request the following information and some sense of our disposition, you know, on it, you know, some detail. So I really would like a formal motion to come, and I really don't think that we're ready right now to draft that language, and I don't see any urgency between now and next meeting.
Can I suggest that, LaVarne?
Yes.
Since you've actually pretty much articulated the idea, would it be, you know, too difficult for you to actually, you know, formalize it into a motion for the next meeting?
You're asking me to do that?
Yeah.
You know, I would, you know, basically, it's what I said, that I don't think we need to entertain it at this time. We need to send it back to the board member to come back with the language. But I really, you know, I really don't have the time to do that at this point. But, you know, whoever would like to take a shot at that, you know, I'd be willing to help and to review it afterwards.
Henry,
yes? I
can
prepare something because I'm quite interested in what Ambrose may would like to do, and I have a very strong opinion about it. I'll be able to prepare the language, and I will present it on the next finance meeting so that you can approve it.
That's great. Thanks
sure.
so much.
Thank you.
Okay, so without objection, then I'd like to move to the next item, which is the next item. And let me see what that is. That is station reports. And I assume that means about Fund Drive. Is that correct, LaVarne? Is that what
yes,
you're
yes, I do have an update.
Okay, so should we go around from each station, and then Lonnie, you can kick in on whatever the people from each station report. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay, let's do that, and we can start with LaVarne.
Okay, this is LaVarne. I'm the treasurer of the LSB at KKFA, and I for the fund drive that went from October the 5th through Sunday, October the 24th, which is 20 days. The goal was $995,000. We achieved $977,000, so that looks like 98% on this report. I didn't do the math again. And so we were set the average about $50,000 a day. We did about 40, almost 49. So we were a little short of the $995,000, but we were close. So it was a very successful fund drive.
LaVarne, may I ask, those are gross, right?
Yes, those are pledged. And through today, so it ended on Sunday. So today is Friday. So through today, we've actually achieved 55%.
And so, very good, Paul.
Okay, so for KPFK, we had our drive was, I'm told it's 13, but I believe it was 12 days. It ran from a Tuesday through a Sunday. The goal was 950. We raised 1,030,000, and web pledges of 30,000, so our total was 1,060,833, which is $110,000 over goal. And they were continuing the web promotion of premiums through the week, so that probably went a little higher. And I believe the average was, the daily average was something like between $70,000 and $80,000 a day.
Could I ask, Dave, why, how, is that's over what you generally make in drives or not?
We had the drive that followed the invasion of Iraq was also over $1 million,
mm-hmm.
but we had one drive that was short of goal in the fall. The following fall, we had there were fires raging throughout L.A. I believe our transmitter power was down. We changed the programming a month before, and there were a couple of major strikes in the city going on. So a lot of working people were strapped for cash. So there were a whole bunch of reasons. But in general, we've been growing steadily. When we got the station back, when there was a change to the IPMB, the biggest drive they'd ever done was $540,000, and it's just been going steadily up since then.
Terrific.
As have subscribership. When we got the station back, we had about 14,000 subscribers. I think we're over 24,000 now,
mm-hmm.
which
and
is a historic high.
What is your listenership rather than membership?
The last numbers I saw for CUME, and I don't know whether this is Total Signal Area or Metro, was a little over 200,000.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Something like that.
This is Lavarne. Just a question on your transmitter. There was the issue with the transmitter. So when did it go back up, or when did it go back to full power?
Oh, it was a few weeks after that drive, I think. I don't remember the exact things. And
you know what we're talking about?
This was a year ago.
Okay, so this is in 2003.
Right.
Can I ask you another quick question?
This is Carol.
This is Lavarne. Let me just finish this. When do you actually air Democracy Now?
We air it at 6 o'clock and 9 o'clock during Fund Drive. I believe it also airs at 7 p.m. So 6 a.m., 9 a.m. And during Fund Drive, I think they often air at midday, 2 or 3 p.m., and then again 7 or 8 p.m. I'm not sure that. And I know that during the Fund Drive, I can only handle listening to so much pitching, so I don't listen religiously. But I think it would be useful to have the manager give a report on Fund Drive programming changes. And I will say that there has been some dismay expressed by some people about the preemptions and preemption policy, but that's not really that's more a matter for the programming committee, I think.
So you're doing it about six times a day during Fund Drive?
No.
Democracy Now?
No.
Four,
No, four at the top. But I also do want to say that there was another innovation this drive. First of all pledges, pledge premiums were required to have been logged by 2 weeks before the drive. And they made one or two exceptions because there were big events that happened and premiums generated from it. But they also had, I don't know if they ultimately enforced it, but they had a rule where there would only be, for each one-hour program, two premiums that would be specific to that hour. And then there was a group, there was talk of a group of all station premiums. In other words, five or six or seven or eight, whatever, that could be pitched everywhere. That anybody could pitch, but they were trying to deal with not having so many premiums. I will say that I think that the Robert Greenwald films, the DVDs, were doing very well. The In Plain Sight DVD did well. DVDs, the new Iraq DVD from the people, Iraq-Afghanistan thing called The Oil Factor,
right,
from the people who did Hidden Wars, was also big. So. And then they did some low-end premiums. We do a number of $35 premiums as well. So they're not just going for high-end people.
Okay. Good information.
So, PT, KPFT?
Well, ours is easy. We haven't had our Fund Drive yet. It starts this coming week. So we're poised and ready to raise around $350,000. And
That's the report here. Other than that, the station continues to run on an even keel, meeting its projections, and nothing new to report outside that. So we've got our collective breaths held, and we're looking at our sister stations, and hats off. You guys did great, I think, all across the board.
Sandy, could I just ask you, what
yeah.
is your membership and what is your listeners' amount?
The last cumulative number that I saw was 145,000, 147,000 uh-huh. listeners on any given week. And the current membership, Henry, can you help me out with this one? What is it, our current membership, Henry? Still there?
Yes, it is around 9,000 members.
Uh-huh, thank you.
I want to say 9,300, but I'm not quite sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the actual amount that we are targeting is 425. That's why we are going 2 weeks on Fun Drive.
425?
Yes.
And how many days?
2 weeks.
14 days?
Yes.
That's the goal. Okay. Thanks.
Okay.
Could I just ask one other question? Same question of LaVarn. What is your membership now, and what is your listener number?
I'm sure I'll probably can help. Members probably about 28.
Uh-huh.
And the listeners, I'm not really sure what the numbers are.
Okay.
I don't know, 200, 250? What do you
yeah.
think, Carol?
I don't know. I haven't seen the most recent Arbitron.
Uh-huh. Okay, thank you.
By the way, before we go on, I did want to say that for many, many years, I have wanted a report that I have never seen but I know can be generated. I would like to see a plot of number of listeners donating at each pledge level, because I think
uh-huh.
that tells you a lot about you know, who you're, you
right.
know, who's paying your bills. Are we talking about a relatively smaller number? Like, is the distribution bimodal? A lot of people who do very little ones and some people who do great big ones. Is it uniform, you know? Is it, what's that look like?
We have the MIMSIS report on the agenda today.
Right,
yeah, this is LaVarn.
That is something I would like to see, but
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, this is LaVarn. I have that report right in front of me.
Oh, great.
We read
okay.
it before me today.
Okay,
can you forward it to us?
Next is,
yeah, I'll have to scan it and I can do it.
Next is BAI.
I have the Fund Drive results as of 3 p.m. yesterday, which would have, that was our ninth day. We started on October 20th. And as of 3 p.m. yesterday, we had raised $334,000. I'm assuming we probably picked up another $16,000 at least for the rest of the day, which would put us around $350,000 through the first 9 days, which is slightly under $40,000 a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, more updated numbers?
Yeah, I just got an email from Indra.
Okay.
2 p.m. today, $374,000.
$374,000.
Yeah, and that would be day 10.
How does that compare to the projections?
Okay, I'm just looking at this. Okay, so that means we made $40,000 in the 24-hour period from 3 p.m. yesterday to, or actually it was 23 hours to 2 p.m. today. The goal is $900,000, and that for 18 days translates into $50,000 a day. So we're under goal at this point. We had 2 days in which we met or exceeded the goal, but we have fallen short other than that.
I have a quick question. At our station, the last days of the drive are always significantly bigger. Is that true there?
I'm not sure. I've heard that said, but I don't know for a fact.
Okay.
This is LaVarn.
LaVarn?
I have a question. When are you broadcasting Democracy Now at BAI?
Well, BAI broadcasts on a regular schedule is at 9 a.m.
Okay.
Once a day?
Once a day.
Now, Amy's doing a lot of pitching for us. She's extending her her show, frequently extending it like a couple of hours or sometimes 3 hours.
Uh-huh.
And she's gone on in the evening, I think, once so far. But the actual program is only broadcast once at 9.
Can I just say something based on what Dave has just said and the
yeah.
success of his Fund Drive? Maybe you guys need to talk about that.
That's been my biggest priority, you know, for a very long time. There's some very strong opposition to it, which I'm prepared to do battle against.
Mm-hmm.
And
Paul, could I ask, do you know where Gary Null stands now? Is he pitching? Is he not pitching? He was eliminated from the air for the next 3.5
years. Gary Null violated the campaign rules, and he went on the air and advocated on behalf of a number of candidates, and the local election supervisor ruled that he had to go off the air for the remainder of the election period, except for fundraising.
This is Carol.
Yeah.
I'm going back to your numbers. If it was 334 to 350K in 9 days, that's figuring at 350K for the first 9 days, that's 38,800 per day. If it's 374 as of 2 p.m. today, it's staying about the same. It goes at about 30, little more, between 38 and 39,000 a day. How many days is this drive planned for?
18 days.
18.
Comes out to 720 if you multiply it, if you assume 40, and that 40 incorporates a little additional kick at the end.
Okay, so if we say if you average 40,000 a day, what did you say it would be?
720.
720. And the budget requires you to raise how much?
Well, the fundraising goal is 900.
What is the budget in actual dollars that you need to raise?
I don't have that in front of me.
Lonnie, do you know? In cash?
If the goal is like 900.
Yeah, I know the goal. That's gross. But the budget is on net. And do we know what that...
That'll be about 675,000.
675 in cash in the door, right?
And what's your fulfillment?
75%.
Mm-hmm. 75%? Yeah, we've got some things that we're working on to increase the fulfillment rate. That's a strong possibility.
The operating expenses are under $300,000 a month.
Well, I'm just talking about the budget right now. If you raise 720 gross and your fulfillment is
75, that's 540.
75%, that's 540 cash in the door. And Lonnie, you said they need 675 cash in the door. Is that right?
675.
All right.
About 113 off.
They're about 113. Yeah, okay. All right.
As of today,
we're just making some educated guesses. We don't have hard numbers. But.
Question, should we discuss some of the implications of this at this point in the agenda or down later in the agenda when we have WBI Fund Drive 1 week actuals, which I guess is what we're doing now? Should we discuss the implications of this for recovery plans and other things here and now?
Fine with me.
How do you feel about that, Lonnie?
I'm prepared to talk about it,
okay.
Although...
Before we get into that, could you comment on what's... Because we don't have anybody from PFW on the call, if I'm correct. So could you tell us what you know about what went on there? Could you comment on what's been said about the other stations, and then could we get into the BAI situation?
PFW did very well on their drive. They exceeded goal, at least according to my information.
What was the goal, and how much was it exceeded by?
450, and they were up close to 500.
Great. Over how many days?
I'm not sure about the days, but I think 12 days. Don't quote me on it. I'm not sure about their days.
Okay.
Was it 10, 15, 20?
It's 12.
12.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now, what I would say about the other stations, KPFK, and it's exceedingly positive that they exceeded goal, but remember that presentation I made on the pig and the python?
Yeah.
They ended the fiscal with a deficit around 123,000.
That was a deficit on projection, not an actual deficit.
It's going to be close. It's going to be close. And so some of that money is going to be used to pay some of the bills from last fiscal. In addition, as you know, they're in the middle of union negotiations, and some of the expenses they had anticipated around that union, the new union contract. But there's about 35,000 to 40,000 that will be new, unanticipated expense. So I'm looking at them sort of as break even around their goal. That's
but,
what
My understanding was that they had budgeted in their budget for this year. When we talked about their budget for this year, they recognized that benefits and union, the union contract was going to have some additional costs in it, and that my understanding was that was budgeted in.
Well, there were two or three. Two of the three were anticipated. The third cost was not. But I think overall during the year, Dave, their savings will cover the additional cost. I'm just talking about cash flow in the first quarterly period. Okay?
Got it. Okay.
Because they saved some money. I won't want to go into details on this, but they did save money. But those savings won't show up until the seventh or eighth month on a cumulative basis. Anyway, on T, I think T's been very steady. They, too, had a small sum of money they were going to be looking for in the first quarter of this fiscal, kind of actually carried over from last fiscal. But I think that the sum is fairly small, and I don't anticipate they'll have difficulty. That's a well-known story. I'm in New York next week, where we'll be going over I's financial situation, as we had done in the past. If the number that we are looking at is $113,000, then we will have a clear target. Then there will, I believe, it'll be necessary to make changes in terms of cost at I. But we all understand that. And what those changes will be is we all know what the options are as well. We've looked them over from several times we've done this. And then there's a timetable associated with it, because nothing will happen instantly, because we have certain built-in requirements at I around union and et cetera. So anyway, yes, we are aware of the I. Everyone is aware of it. We're now getting a sense of what that number might be. Now, if I does, in fact, they recoup in the last week or so, the $113,000, still yet there will be needed changes, because that will be required, I believe. Now, the last thing I'll say about I, just on the cash flow level, because I look at it not just as budget but cash, their CPB money will come in, and that's $250,000, so $244,000 or so. Get that money, but so cash will not necessarily be an issue for them. But of course, as these monies go on, then. But that does not mean we do not act, of course. Would it?
Yeah. Can I just...
Hold on. Are you done, Lonnie?
Yeah, I just wanted to address the cash issue and the CPB money, as it does for all stations, comes at a time when their reserves are lowest, so it helps.
Okay, Paul?
I agree that if that's the result, we're going to have to act. I think we should probably act anyway, even if we meet our goal, because I think we could have a higher goal. The question is, how do we act? And I think LaVarne's suggestion is an excellent way to act. But in terms of the money issue and the budget issue, if it's $113,000, we're talking about three more days of fundraising. And I'm not opposed to extending the fund drive.
Paul, that's not correct. We're saying 113 net, so that's 75%. So you would need so you're talking four or five more days.
Three and a half, maybe.
Well, Paul, I think at the suggestion of the Finance Committee, we're sending Phil Development.
Yeah.
And he will be there on the 8th of November. And there, he will tackle the fulfillment rate, because if you do increase the fulfillment rate, as we've seen from that last drive in the fall, if you increase it from 75 to 80 or 85%, you do pick up an additional $75,000 to $100,000. So that is another variable in this.
I don't take the issue of the quote-unquote 91 days of fundraising as being the criteria upon which we're going to make our decisions.
Okay.
So I'm saying, this thing has not been decided by the LSP or by the management. I think there are a lot of possible ways that we can respond to the situation.
Well, I have a question.
Could I just say, as a BAI person, of course, there are different views on that. Mine is a different one than Paul's. Thank you.
Understood. Lonnie, when you said we're going to have to act, what do you have in mind in terms, I mean, what are the kind of things that you're going to be talking about or thinking about considering? Because one of the things that I had really been concerned about in this whole process and wanted to have that sort of, what's the word I'm looking for, the halfway budget, if you will, budget C, was that whatever was going to happen after we got into it and saw that there wouldn't be this sort of large battle looming as a result of that, but that there would be some understandings about the way things would go so it wouldn't be tearing apart, you know, a set of good faith gestures, so to speak. Do you feel that you're in a position right now or that the situation is such that when you say we have to act that there's some clarity and consensus, or is this going to be a real struggle again?
That's a tough one. Let me put it this way. I think as Paul alluded to, that what will have to happen is that there will be two or three options on the table that everybody will be in a position to examine and look over. Those options all have pros and cons. But if not the ability to come together in some sort of unified way and agree on an option, then I will recommend as CFO my best recommendation about what should happen. And I think we need to move in that regard, because if there is a fairly large dollar shortfall, I'm not talking $50,000 or $60,000, but $150,000 or $200,000, what will happen is the ability to meet payroll and other, you know, essential costs is at risk. And that will something will have to be done if that is what the scenario looks like, you know, around after that period, November 5th to the 8th.
Well, we got something called the VAI Recovery Plan. And my impression was that there were some specifics in there. For example, you were talking about the fact that last year pink slips went out not because you wanted to let anybody go, but that if it became necessary, it was recognized that that step had to be taken with a certain lead time, et cetera, et cetera. When we talk about what the options are now, is there anything in the chute already of certain kinds of things that are going to happen or have to happen? Also, what is the time frame for deciding all this stuff?
Well, talking with the folks that are involved, let me just give you just a quick, how it could go, worst case, just so we get that off the table. You go there next week, and it looks like that the funds will not be forthcoming, and you're looking at $150,000, $200,000. We would, in that period, meet with the union people, meet with the staff, meet with the general managers, and say, let's get clear on where we are in this scenario. We would do it pretty much like we did it before. We'd say, what can happen? What the options are? That will be assumed we can put to bed the issue of whether more money is coming. Once we are sure that that is not going to happen, then we have to turn to our other options. At that point, decision would be made whether or not to commence with layoffs. Secondarily, whether or not there would be salary reductions, that is to say, as a secondary way of reducing expenses, and then looking always to reducing expenses in the operating side. Once we had a number, that is to say, how much will it take to put the station back on an even keel, we would start to look at the options reducing, as I said. Then pink slips would be likely issued going 30 days out, which is be required under the union contract, or we might look at whether or not the existing pink slips issued will suffice, and then adopt a plan, a cooperative plan, hopefully, of how to bring the station over the 2 or 3 month period in the forward area. Because remember, you will, even in a layoff scenario, have to pay off accumulated vacation time and severance time. Those savings will not be immediate. It'll take 2 or 3 months, but then you'll have to have a 6-month plan so you can see on the other side of that 3 months whether your plan will in fact work on paper. So you will do cash flow projections, all of which we've done before. So it's not going to be new. And then I would go to the LSB and give them my recommendations, the general manager of the unions, and they may or may not agree. But the plan would be that folks, after getting information could, around the options, could agree on one or two or three of those options, and we can all move forward. So that.
So what's the time frame for all this happening?
As I said, I'm there in New York the 5th to the 8th, along with my development director. And over that period, we would schedule meetings, and we were talking about roughly a three to five day period to have the meetings and have the discussion. So we're talking between the period November 5th through November 10th, roughly.
Could you also clarify the approval process for the final decision? Where does the authority lie? How's that decision ultimately going to be made?
Well, it's interesting.
That comes as a shock.
My assumption is, say, you know, the CFO or the GM or the LSB, I mean, the LSB and the GMs don't agree with any recommendation I might have. I would bring it to finance and ultimately the board.
May I ask a question? Lonnie, wouldn't it be logical that if staff does have to be cut, it is non-union staff one would begin with, then there should be no issues of extended vacation time or whatever?
Well, if that scenario were to solve the financial problem, if you got $150,000 to $200,000 problem, Alice?
Yeah.
And you're beyond non-union staff.
Okay, but one would start with non-union, I'm presuming.
Yes, certainly. That is in our scenario. But the question of authority is an interesting one. I view my role as one that's independent and related solely to finance issues, as well as being sensitive to humanitarian issues, and to bring my best judgment to the finance committee and the board if there is not agreement at that level. At the GM LSB level.
Right, so just
this
to clarify, Carol, I'll come to you.
I know, I just want you to recognize that I'm in the staff.
I got you. Why don't I call on you first? Because you may clarify what I had in mind. Go ahead.
The budget, if there's going to be a major budget change for BAI, I think the National Board does have to approve it. Obviously, it would be best for the National Board to be approving something that reached agreement at the local level. That would make it far easier. And I agree with you, Lonnie, that if there's not agreement at the local level or you don't think the agreement is a sound one, your job is to make your recommendation as to what has to happen or what the best case, what needs to happen, your best financial judgment on that. But I do think that if the BAI budget has to change, then it does need National Board approval. That's my view.
Okay, what I wanted to clarify was exactly that, whether what Lonnie was saying was that if there is consensus, let's say, on the ALSB and the management, and you, were you suggesting that it would then not come up to this level? And what, you know, it seems to me, and I wasn't on top of it because I wasn't responsible for it at the time, that we did talk about how we were going to revisit this and that the board was going to have a role in revisiting the situation.
Yeah, we did. November 15th.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but what was going to happen? What was the language of that motion, that what was going to happen on November 15th?
I can find it.
It was going to be reviewing the situation, but to clarify, either way, I think where budget change is involved, it does have to come to the National Board, and that would be part of any other look around that November 15th date on any other finance issues. So they're all part of the package, I think.
Okay, so one question would be whether we need to make clear through a motion that and this goes back to what we were talking about earlier, actually, about the policies on unbudgeted, you know, changes. Are we saying that the National Board would have to approve any final agreement?
Well, I'm thinking that the Finance Committee has a role in recommending to the board. Because that's the function of the Finance Committee. Presumably we would have more detailed discussions than would be possible at the board.
Right, but ultimately what we're saying is that it would be a national-level decision to go ahead with whatever was developed locally through discussion between management, yourself, and the board.
Yeah, I agree. It does have to have the approval of the PNB.
Well, can I just make one point?
Please.
That I think what we're talking about now is a change in the budget, correct?
Yes.
Because we're not talking about extending the length of the fund drive. That's totally within the right of WBAI management to carry out. And if the fund drive were extended and the budget goal was met, nothing would be reflected in the budget. There would be no need to change the budget.
And just
to repeat myself, that in no way frees us from the obligation to make some changes in whatever is causing us to have to extend the fund drive, should that be the case. But it's not a budget issue.
But if that did happen, Paul, then
LaVarne was next.
I'll allow Alice to speak first because she's
involved. No, please, LaVarne.
Well, what I was going to say is that Paul was about to support my idea, or at least look at in terms of what's happening with the fund drive today, rather than, I know we had to have the discussion about what will happen if there is a shortfall, but in terms of what we can do as of today based on the report backs from the other stations and their experience with their fund drives, that perhaps what we can do to support Paul and Alice to perhaps effect a change at this time so that it may lessen the impact of the drastic measures we'd have to do if there is such a shortfall. So I'd like Paul to continue with his thought, his idea, before I believe he's cut off.
Well, actually, a way in which other stations could help us, in my view, is to report on exactly how often Democracy Now! Is broadcast at their stations, whether they think that that's a factor in the success of their fund drives, or any other programmatic or other aspects of the performance and the operations of the station that that you think might be helpful to WBAI to learn from. And what you said about Democracy Now, I think, is extremely important in pointing out, you know, that it appears to be a major factor in KPFK success.
It's a fundraising gorilla. My understanding is that Bernard is in contact with the other program directors on that topic. They are actively discussing and trading notes about what premiums are doing well, what's working, et cetera, et cetera. I think that's already happening down at the station.
I have a question.
But Democracy Now! Remains stuck at 9 o'clock in the morning when nobody can hear it.
Henry?
Yes, what was the spirit among the LSB members yesterday in the LSB meeting?
We didn't discuss budget issues.
He wasn't asking budget, he was asking spirit.
Spirit among the members of the LSB.
What do you think, Paul?
Well, a new fight has erupted about whether to what degree the unions should be involved in the general manager search process, and the alignment along that fight is breaking down along slightly different lines. But the kinds of vituperation and demagoguery that's being thrown around is on the same level as what was being done in the budget process. People are being accused of union busting because the resolution that was passed by the PNB the other night was characterized as union busting and reactionary and, you know, like an attack from the right wing. Things like that are taking place at WBAI.
This is Carol. Can I come in?
Yeah.
Before we go to you, Henry, did you have anything you wanted to follow with, or is that adequate?
No. Because this is going to reflect how the decision of the PNB is going to be looked by the factions that we still have over there. but I just wanted to take it as a reference and in how to present the implementation of the adjustments that we're going to be doing.
Okay, Cal?
Well, I think I just there's one thing that I feel is important to remember is that generally I don't think the National Board is the right place to try to solve local problems. I think at the local level, at every opportunity and incentive and encouragement should be given to work it out locally. But ultimately, at the National Board's responsible. And if the local board and management can't agree or cannot agree on a responsible on a plan that the national board feels is fiscally responsible or in the best interest of the station, the national board has to decide what to do. So I think that it's somewhat inaccurate for I think the national board is concerned about the number of fundraising days at any station. If it appears to be really way out of line, that is a national board concern. And so when the problem, you know, discussion of how to solve the problem locally takes place, I think the number of fundraising days is a very significant and important issue to address. That's all I wanted to say.
I would like to bring us back to the role of this committee in that process and address what Paul said about expanding the number of days to meet it. And the question is, I mean, that can be, that argument can be made sort of indefinitely. There's never a point at which you might not say, and we're going to keep going to meet this. So what I want to know is, at what point does it come back before this body?
Dave?
Do we have any clarity about that?
Dave?
Yes.
If you want, I can read the motion that Mark Roberts, you know, we passed at the October meeting, NBC. Motion by Roberts, whereas the PNB recognizes both the concerns of the WBAI LSB and the management, and whereas the PNB needs to adopt a fiscal year 05 budget for Pacifica, the PNB hereby chooses to approve the WBAI budget proposal number 3 and directs the National Finance Committee to revisit said budget by November 15, 2004, and further endorses the National Finance Committee requirement that the WBAI LSB manager, the executive director, and the chief financial officer work to improve the WBAI fundraising performance and premium fulfillment. That's it.
Okay, so there really doesn't say, there's nothing in there that formally says, at the following time or under the following circumstances, the authority to make a decision is going to shift here or going to shift there. And that, to me, is a problem and a weakness, because without knowing that, then that's going to be the subject of conflict. And I do think that we should try and get some clarity on it. And I'm curious what other people think about that.
Well, I have a thought about that.
Okay, and I also, Rolani, if you could explicitly weigh in on that, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Carol, and then I'd like to ask Lonnie to say what he thinks.
Well, I think the authority lies here when we decide it does, because we are a board committee charged with the duty of making recommendations to the board about financial matters. And at any time on any situation where we have a concern, we have the duty, fiduciary responsibility to take it up and make a recommendation. So I think that is not unclear, that is corporate governance. It's our responsibility if we're at any time concerned that we take it up and make a recommendation to the board if we feel it's necessary.
I don't disagree with you. I just want to say that there's a difference between what our formal authority and role is and, for example, letting people know that as of this time, for example, if this isn't dealt with in this way, then we will step in. I also think there is a real politic to it, which is that we want our decisions to be reasonable and for most people looking at it to say, yep, that was a good faith thing. They did it as far as they could, but it should not, again, be capricious. It shouldn't be something that just says, okay, now that's that.
Right. Well,
I think,
Dave,
we should signal clearly what we're going to do when.
Well, we have a board resolution saying we have to take this up on November 15th.
Okay.
We're taking up the budget.
Bye.
Before we go on, I want to hear from Lonnie on this.
Well, I think that speaking just from the perspective of the Finance Committee, which I understand is what we're doing right now, right?
Right.
It's our powers, authority, and responsibilities. So, okay, what comes up for me is that the review on the